record here, so you're on there.
Okay. All right, thanks. Yeah, I'm glad Dan didn't give me a last slot because I have a 7 o'clock or a 7:30 flight out of Ottawa, so.
Can I hear you tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, after the conference.
You could do a pre-book a limo, standing outside, just
Well, I didn't have a choice because I had to make my plane, so I could justify it to Netflix accounting. It probably would be, oh, whatever. Yeah, unless it was like $1,000 or something, I don't think they would even bat an eye. Okay, so I was going to wait for Sean, but he's too late. So I'm giving two NAND flash talks at FreeBSD CAN this year. This one is oriented to the embedded space and more towards developers. My other talk is oriented, this is what NAND flash is, this is some of the characteristics of NAND flash, and so you get this kind of performance out of SSDs. I don't suppose anybody has an Apple power supply, forget it, never mind. So this talk is, I'm going to talk a little bit about the fundamentals of NAND, the chips interface, and then I'll talk about how FreeBSD models those and how you would use NAND in an embedded environment, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the issues that present themselves. Oh, thank you. When that happens. So. All right, so this is a lot of words on this slide, but NAND is a hierarchically organized storage system. And for this talk, all of these layers don't mean a whole lot, so I also made this picture. The important part for this talk is blocks and pages. Blocks are the basic erase unit. Blocks are made up of multiple pages, usually a few hundred. Pages are the basic read and write unit. Each of the pages is a power of 2 plus a little bit. The power of 2 is for the storage of data. The little bit is for out-of-band data. It's called OOB. So you may, if you see something online, you may see it talking about the OOB, and it's about 5% of the size of the page, so you don't get a 4K page, you get like a 4208 page or something on some NANDs. And this varies from design to design, but the purpose of the OOB is to store the status information about the block. Is this a good block, a bad block? What sequence is it in the log? Maybe a count of how many times it's been programmed and erased. Plus it has the correction bits in it. One of the things about NAND flash is that if you're using SSDs or thumb drives, you go, hey, this is perfect. Well, somebody behind the scenes is making it perfect. Somebody behind the scenes is doing the error correction for you. And this used to be not such a big deal. In the first few generations of NAND, this was a couple bits. Now it's up to like 50 bits over 1K, which is quite a lot. Another thing in addressing, I'll show you some slides that have that on them, rows are blocks, columns are pages. So that's how, that's an approximate way to look at the addressing for NAND. Columns are also offsets within the page, but I won't worry too much about that. So to understand NAND, how FreeBSD interfaces with NAND, you have to kind of understand the NAND interface. So when the NAND system for FreeBSD was developed, this was the basic model that existed for most of the NAND controllers of the time. You would connect data lines to the NAND chip and also to the memory chip. You'd leverage all the other signals from the memory subsystem. You have a chip select that goes selectively to each one. As programmers, you probably see this as just an address bit, or you know, these four bits activate this chip select. You know, so there's varying schemes, but that's approximately how it goes. The chip select, for people that don't know, turns the chip on. If the chip select isn't selected, it ignores all the signals that are coming in. So these two signals are kind of special, ALE and CLE. ALE is the address latch enable, and CLE is the command latch enable. And those appear on later timing diagrams. The important thing to note here, though, is they're kind of parasitically driven off of the address lines. So that means when you want to write bytes to the flash, you just have to write them to the right address in the, you know, whatever area this chip selects, and boom, you're talking to the flash and doing all the wiggles that you need to do. So to read a page, these are all the wiggles you need to do. I'm not going to go through this in excruciating detail. This isn't an EE class. I'll point out, you know, CLE has to go high when we're sending the command byte, and ALE has to go high to toggle the address bytes in. This is kind of hard to read, I'm sorry. And then we send another command byte and wait a while, and then we get our data out. So a couple of things to note here. These timings are tens of nanoseconds. So they're usually done by the memory controller that you connect the chip to. This particular timing diagram was typical from a Micron technical note. The individual NAND will vary based on the different modes it is. Some of these do transfers, DDR transfers, so on each of the toggles it'll do a transfer, and you get a certain number ranging from 10 mega transfers or megahertz to up to 300, 400, 500 mega transfers on the newer designs. Those usually need DMA to run. This time is the interesting time here, really. It's 30 to 50, maybe a little longer, microseconds. FreeBSD's current code, as I'll get to in a minute, busy waits for this. And that's not too bad. It's a little icky. You know, these processors are underpowered and you're busy waiting for 30 microseconds, but that's not too bad. But to program a page, you know, it's the same sort of thing. You do all the wiggles. I basically just included this slide to say that the amount of time it takes to program is quite a bit more. It's 10 to 20 times more. It's, you know, 500 to 1,000 microseconds. And the code busy waits for this, too. That's less good. And then erase is the same thing, except, you know, 5 milliseconds. The interesting thing to note is we have a nice, good signal, usually, for when things get done. This goes low, and if you have a 0 to 1 transition interrupt, you can get a nice interrupt when the operation's done. If not, this diagram shows you can send a status command and you get data back, and it'll tell you whether or not it's done. FreeBSD does this kind of polling for program and erase, which makes it a little bit heavyweight. So how is all this implemented on FreeBSD? Well, we have kind of a abstract NFC, NAND Flash Controller base interface. This is like a PCI bridge or an SDMMC bridge, something like that. This is just an abstract interface that FreeBSD has that lets us talk to the NAND. And it's a very, very low-level interface. Send a command byte, read a data byte, and those are the primitives that are at this layer. NAND bus handles enumerating the bus and controlling access to the bus if you have multiple NAND chips. If you recall from my earlier picture, let's see if I can do this quickly. Yeah. Here, if you have a package, you might have multiple chips on different chip selects. And this is how NAND vendors get higher densities. They can't build the chips any more densely, but they can stack 8 or 16 of them into one package and put a boatload of pins to send the IOs out. And that helps them with their densities, and people want to put these in smartphones and what have you. So we have to deal with that. So that's why I show a one-to-many relationship here. In theory, you could have a one-to-many relationship here, but that's just not implemented at all in the current code. And I'll get to some of that. So the NAND flash controller implements signaling and low-level sequencing. And that's all the timing diagrams that I just talked about. If you're writing a NAND flash controller interface, you have to know what your chip can do. Oftentimes, when you approach it, it's like, wow, this is really crazy. But if you look at the documentation for your chip, you'll find, oh, wait, 80% of this is handled by the chip, and I just have to do the right toggles at the right time. So it winds up being just about 100 or 150 lines of code. It's really well matched to the SoCs that were out there in 2007 when this project was started. More modern SoCs, though, have a little bit of an issue. They want to do an entire sequence. They want to take over that entire timing diagram, and you plug in the bytes, and it gives you the data back, or it sends the data down and gives you a status back. And this interface doesn't work so well for that. I'll get up to that a little bit more in a minute or two here. So the NAND bus layer takes care of the high-level command sequences. So it's the one that knows how to program a page. It knows that program a page is send this command byte, send these address bytes, and all that stuff that was on the timing diagrams. All that information is encoded in the NAND bus, because otherwise it would be in each of the NAND flash controllers. So from that perspective, it's good, but it assumes it's talking to such a low-level controller that I'll get to that actually in a second. So it understands the different types of NAND. These days, there's two main types of NAND flash that conform with this interface. There's ONFI and Toggle, or ONFI and JEDEC. ONFI is parts by Intel, Micron, Hynix, a couple other minor ones that I can't remember. And generally, I would say generally it's viewed as the industry standard. The Toggle was done by Samsung and Toshiba and SanDisk and a couple other minor ones I can't remember. It's also viewed as the industry standard. It's just a different consortium of people that have gotten together. And the differences are silly, but they have to do with the competitive pressures of the market. The other thing that the NAND bus does is it locks shared access to the bus. This is a shared bus. All the data pins go everywhere. The chip select says which chip is active. So you need something to moderate and share those signals in a fast, timely manner. And NAND bus takes care of that. The NAND interface, right now it implements two types of NAND chips, those with small pages and those with big pages. And there's just some addressing details on the difference between the two about how many row bytes versus how many column bytes you send to do the commands. So, and it handles all of that low-level stuff. It deals with bad blocks, but only this is bad, this is not bad. It doesn't deal with sequencing, it doesn't deal with, this is a reliable store, you don't have to worry about it. This will just tell you, if you ask, is this block bad, it'll tell you yes or no. So file systems can use this cooperatively to not write data to the bad blocks. it also has all of the implementation details for the iOctals that are provided by GNAND. I haven't talked about gene and yet, whoops, because this is just kind of the device tree model for the physical devices. We're into more of a logical level here. So this NAND is the same NAND from prior slides. This is the raw NAND interface. It provides a bunch of iOctals that let you read pages, program pages, all that stuff. GNAND is a geometry layer on top of that, which says, oh, you want to do block things? Sure, I'll let you do block things. And it exports different parameters, geometry parameters to file systems. So you can ask, how big is the page? How big is the block? Is this block good or not? Erase this block, program this page, all those basic NAND things. Or you can say, oh, I want to do a bio-write, I want to do a bio-read, I want to do a bio-trim, and it will handle translating those as well. NANDFS is a log-structured file system that was written by SemiHalf. In fact, all of this was written by SemiHalf. NANDFS was ported from SemFS from NetBSD, which is a log-structured file system. And it's, in theory, well-suited to NAND. So, let's see. So a little bit more about GNAND. It does all the stuff I said, plus exposes iOctals. If you want to write a user program to access your NAND, you can do that. Some manufacturing folks will need to do this with their building systems. But it doesn't add, it doesn't really grok reliability. It doesn't really give you a way to say, oh, this block is going bad, or you know, there's the sequence of blocks. It just is a raw mapping. There's no logical to virtual translation at this layer. It's purely a physical layer. NANDFS, as you'd imagine, is a log-based file system. If you don't know what a log is, I have an example in my later talk today, which is in about 40 minutes. And I can go through that, but basically a log just writes sequentially and never rewrites a block. It rewrites extents, or it erases extents and garbage collects them, or refreshes the extents. And NANDFS has a scrubber which does this. As you might imagine, if you know anything about log-based file systems, the scrubber is usually the performance bottleneck, and that is true with NANDFS. It mostly works. If you format a NANDFS or format like an SSD with NANDFS, it works. You can check out FreeBSD on it, do a build world. It works. It's a little slower than UFS, but not terrible. But if you do anything more extensive with NANDFS, you'll find some problems. There's some locking problems as well as some stability problems. So I've been talking all this time about simple integration. We have a little simple controller, we toggle bins, we're happy, right? Well, the world's moved on. And this is just an example from one of the Freescale NAND controllers that would be difficult to integrate into FreeBSD. One of the things that I would like to do, and I would like some help with, is I would like to rewrite the NAND mid-layer so that we can support things like this. So this thing has data buffers in it. It has ECC offload in it. It has command sequencing in it. So it would be nice to have an interface that could support generating all the things we need for this. As parts get bigger and bigger, you need 30, 40 bits of ECC for a block. That becomes very computationally expensive to do in hardware, so you really have to do software offloading. Right now, all we can do is software computed ECC and only 2 bits of Reed Solomon. So I put this slide up just to give kind of a flavor of some of the challenges that we might be up against. I've talked about some of the issues on this slide already. Busy wait rather than interrupt. No hardware sequencing support. ONFI is well supported. We parse all of the data that comes back from the ONFI chips fairly well. We don't for JEDEC or Toggle. Part of that is getting documentation, or was historically, and part of that was probably the boards that they have just had ONFI parts. A lot of the ARM, even a lot of the ARM-based boards that you get today that have 256 meg or 512 or even a gig have simple ONFI parts, so we don't have to SLC parts, so we don't have to deal with the higher levels of error correction. SLC is the type of way that NAND stores things. I'll get into this in my talk later, or my talk in half an hour. but you can store 1, 2, or 3 bits. And if you store 1 bit, you don't need much ECC. If you store 3 bits, you need a boatload of ECC, because the guard bands between the different bits gets smaller and smaller and smaller as they cram more information in, so they make more errors in judgment. And I'll get into that in my talk later. We have no reliable store layer. This is the UBI layer in Linux that UBFS is built upon. Also, more modern NAND, in order to get to the endurance, or number of read and write cycles that the manufacturers specify, you can't just read it and it works. You read it, oh, it failed. Well, the manufacturer tells me I should set this parameter and try again. Set this parameter and try again until it works. And with that, I can make the endurance, because you're moving around the thresholds that determine where the different bits are. So we don't have any way of integrating that right now. So there's no DMA support. The interface is byte-oriented. Read a byte, write a byte. I can't say, here's a block, ship it off. I can't say, here's a block, ship it off, and put the ECC bits here. There's no hardware offload for that. So, and I've talked about the other issues, I guess. So that's my talk. I have about 5 minutes left for questions. I hope this is what you guys were expecting. If not, I'm sorry. Perhaps my other talk would be better, not that I'm plugging it or anything. So, questions? Sean.
So, in the implementation, we have every flash device has to have a NAND driver in it. So, like, in my little universe of hacking on a Theros, I'm going to have to go get a Theros docs or yell at Adrian for a couple of hours.
I have a copy of the Theros docs.
So that has to be a NAND. It has to be a provider in the NAND system.
Right, that's probably an NFC, or we have to come up with, we have like a soft NFC and a hard NFC, and the hard NFC has a different interface. We have to come up with some abstraction for that.
Okay, and that's, so right now in the tree you've got, there's what, an Atmel something?
There's an Atmel driver.
Okay.
There's a Kirkwood driver. And two others that I can't remember that are all fairly similar and fairly simple bitbang interfaces.
So how does NANDFS doesn't need, it, like you're saying, it can use an SSD just on a SATA controller.
Right, NANDFS is based as a block interface.
That's different. That's just replacing UFS with NANDFS.
Yeah, you could run UFS over GNAND.
Okay.
And you might have a better experience, although you might have more wear to particular parts of the drive. It's not, but just because you can do it might not make it a good idea. But yeah, that's NANDFS just talks the block layer. GNAND translates that into the NAND commands, which are read page, program page, erase block.
So in my little universe of hackery, is this something I should pursue?
Yes, of course. I'm not going to say no.
Please, dear God, no. I mean, so is this the right solution for a little open WRT?
I think it is. I think we need to get to the point where we can have a decent NAND driver that has good performance over a wide range of chips. Anything we can do to get there is good. Because one of the things that we suffer from right now is we have the image, boom.
Correct.
That's it. That's all you get. And that's about the level of support we have. And that's okay if you have a router, that's only a router, and that's all you're ever going to do with it, because we can read and write a little bit of config data in some hacky way and make it work. But if you want to say, oh, here's the base system, you have a USB port. Well, I want to plug in a 3G modem. Or a 4G modem. I want to plug in a printer. I want to plug in a scanner. I want to plug in a video camera, whatever. You can have different packages that you'd want to install, and we can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. And that's limiting our embedded space.
You,
yes?
Can you talk a bit about the UB layer in Linux? What does that add?
The UB layer in Linux adds like three big things and a bunch of little stuff. It adds reliability. You ask, give me the next block in this sequence. So it has gives you a sequence of blocks that is a logical in nature, not physical in nature. So you can then read and write to that. It adds additional metadata that keeps track of how many times these blocks have been written, which ones are bad, et cetera. And it also provides tools, because different NAND have different bad blocks. You can't just DD an image onto NAND. You have to DD a logical image on. And so it provides tools to do that.
It does the wear leveling thing. Turns it into more
simple. It does the wear leveling. It does the bad block replacement, all that. Yeah, if UFS grokked more of a log underneath, you could. It would, if you had a UB-like thing in FreeBSD, doing a log for UFS would be much easier. And it would also solve one of the problems which we have now, which, again, you have the image, and you blast the image on. If one of those blocks is bad, then
you're done.
What he said.
Done that.
Been there, done that, got the brick.
And it's like, I have 16 gig of flash, but because of the way we do things, it's like, well, I can't use the other 12 gig because I have to start at the beginning.
Yeah.
To put the image on.
Yeah, so. So any other questions, comments? Large consulting contracts to finish this?
All right. Thank you, Warren.
Okay, thanks.